Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, as we listen to your voice today, may miracles happen in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Message for this afternoon is learning to look for God in miracles. This is part two. Last week we talked about learning to look for God, and we said we even find God even in the midst of pain and difficulty and sorrows. We said that last week that the Bible shows us that God can show up in some very strange places. In burning bushes, in the fiery furnace, in a golden box called the ark. And then we see God even hanging on a cross. So we can even find God, and we need to learn to look for him, even in the midst of pain and hurt. Even when bad things happen to good people, God is there. Can you say amen? Today we will discuss something that's just a little easier for you to accept. It's learning to look for God in miracles. You may have read about the story of the town that celebrates an annual battle. And so in their town square, the fountain that normally has water coming out of it, they changed the plumbing so that wine could come out. Only this time they got the plumbing mixed up. And so in a dozen houses, when they turned on the tap, they had sparkling white wine come out of the tap for at least 3 minutes. And it wasn't a miracle. It was bad plumbing. It's a true story. What is a miracle? Webster defines a miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. How many times a year do we use the term, it's a miracle? And we're not always connecting it with divine intervention. Have you ever said, it's a miracle drug? Or it's a miracle food? Or how about, have you ever met a miracle child? And in the sports world, how many miracle shots have we seen? What people mean by that is that the event is amazing and improbable. You may have seen recorded this past week on health.com. There was a study done 1 month ago from Baylor University, and they released this research before a packed house of reporters in Washington, D.C., on miracles, no less. And this is what Baylor University found out about miracles. And they found that 16% of Americans have had a miraculous physical healing. They found out that one quarter of American adults have reported that they have witnessed a miracle. And over one half of the 1,721 people in the study said that they had been touched by the divine, and that they had been personally protected from harm by a guardian angel. It made me think about the story that Brian gave this morning. And 20% reported that they hear the voice of God speaking to them. And won't be surprised by this, but more women than men experienced healing miracles. 18% women, only 13% of men. They said that non-whites were twice as likely to experience or say that they experience miracles. The more education and the more money you had, the less likely you were to report a miracle. And if you had an eighth grade education or less, you are less likely to report healing. And if you were Pentecostal or African American, you were more likely to experience and say you experienced miracles firsthand than those who might be from mainline Protestant or Catholic and Jewish faith. And so that's what Baylor University found out about miracles. Now, we know that the Bible is replete with miracles. You can go from one end to the other and find miracles. Moses, Elijah, Elisha are all part of miracles. In fact, some of the greatest miracles have been performed by Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. And so when you read Matthew chapter 12, you see Jesus casting out demons. And the greatest miracle you can find in John 11, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. If you read the book of Mark is a book of miracles. If you ever forget where miracles at, just go to the book of Mark. Mark 16 is about miracles. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 14, and many other passages, too many to numerous, talk about miracles. I'm talking about looking for God in miracles. And do you believe it, the scripture that was read? Do you know that Jesus even gave his disciples the power to perform miracles? Do you think that applies to us? Oh, I bet if I started a miracle service right here, you'd call a conference on me. So don't act smug. You know we're a little afraid of that. So I won't do it today. But you know what? How do you recognize a miracle? They can come in good times or in bad. But I have to admit, we look for them more when we're in pain and when we're in trouble. And I like to think that this nation is ripe for a miracle. How do you recognize a miracle? Well, when you see something happen that you know only God can do, you're probably witnessing a miracle. But you know what we do, and I'm guilty of this. We generally equate miracles with people getting up out of wheelchairs or taking the crutches and throwing them away or some kind of sickness that has been healed. That's what we, most of us, and that's true, Bible, and that fits. That's what we associate miracles with, and we should. In fact, there was a miracle that 700 Club featured about a Mr. Ward kid who had suffered, had an incurable disease, and he had been prayed over many times. Yet one particular Sunday, he said he felt that he needed the people of his church to lay hands on him. And so they did. And he said that he felt when they laid hands on him that the power of the Lord came over him. And he best described it as like a bucket of warm water as it was slowly poured over top of his head. And it went all through him and all over him. And it came out of the bottom of his heels of his feet. And he said all the pain from that disease left him. And in response, you know, if you ever look at the internet, there's a response. When 700 Club gave the miracle, there's always many responses. Let me read one of them to you. It says, only in extreme rare cases do we see miracles. And in fact, most of it is a scam to take your money and leave you with disease. The late Pope John Paul II had over 1 billion people praying for him, and he didn't make it. Usually the dumbest and most poorly educated people believe in miracles. Well, I'm educated. I believe in miracles. Amen. And so should you. We need to learn to look for God in miracles. But I'm going to switch up on you, if you would let me for just a moment, and alert you to something that I think is relevant to these times in which we live in. Again, we associate miracles with wheelchairs and crutches and disease. But Jesus said these words in Matthew 24:24. This is a last day passage, and I want to read it for you. This is what Jesus has to say. I say that we're ripe for a miracle. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. And then it ends, see, I have told you beforehand. And then Revelation 13:13, another last day chapter, has these words to say, he performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. In Revelation 16:14, for they are the spirits of demons performing miracles, which go out to the kings, to the authorities of the earth, and the whole world. Those are last day passages. You see, what we equate, I want you to get this, what we equate miracles with is going to some service where a whole lot of people there come with their wheelchairs and their crutches, and somebody lays hands on them and they are healed. I'd like to say, if they're healed, really healed, thank the Lord. I can't figure it all out all the time, but let me give you another perspective. I think we need to be careful about the grandiose mindset of miracles. I found miracles are not what we think they are. You know a miracle that I had? When I passed it, I've told this story before, and I'll probably tell it till the day they put the dirt over me. I had a miracle when I was pastoring in church, and I was pressed and looking good, and I was broke. I had nothing, but I looked good. And a lady was impressed. Now, this is not, for those who are in ministry, Paul, this is not a good idea. Paul is gone, okay. But this is not a good idea. In fact, there's conflict of interest. I don't recommend taking money from members, but the Lord told that member to give me $20. And I needed that $20. And I took that $20 because it was a miracle. Oh, I thought miracles were getting folk out of wheelchairs. No, a miracle can be $20 when you really need it. And in fact, you might remember, Bren, we had company that weekend. So we needed that $20 to help feed our company. I've shared this one. That's when I was making $721 a month as a minister, and my mortgage was $500. Oh, y'all don't know about that. See, y'all think because we drive up in Lexus that life has been good all the time. I'm telling you, God has miracles for us, and sometimes we don't even recognize them because we have a wheelchair mentality of miracles. You know, a miracle happened, and I remember it. My wife will remember this one. It was Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and my son, for whatever reason, he had to go someplace. I just have a feeling it was up to no good. That's just my feeling. And it was raining. And so he got out there at night on Interstate 15 around 78 and Valley Parkway. Y'all know where that's at? And did a 360. Hydroplaned and did a 360 and hit nothing but the side of the road. Now, that might not be a miracle for you, but that was a miracle in our home. A miracle comes in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different packages. And I can't, where's my daughter? I don't want to embarrass you. I can't tell you. My daughter is just one walking miracle. I can't even begin to tell you. Those years going through college and going through medical school and all the miracles the Lord opened up for my daughter. Now, if I were to tell you all those stories, you'd get bored because they don't sound like miracles to you. But I'm telling you, there are miracles. I believe in miracles. And so I find God in those places. My wife will remember this. When she worked, she became the director, acting director over this program. And we believe she served honorably as director. But when it came time to pick the new director, they went and got one of their buddies. And you remember this, Bryn. We used to talk about it, and we whined about that. It wasn't fair. And do you know what happened 6 months later? They got rid of everybody at the top. And my wife had her old job back, doing fine. We know that as a miracle. Now, that may have no bearing on your home, and that doesn't sound like a miracle, but I'm telling you, I believe in miracles. When I prayed for my dying mother, who's dying of cancer, I prayed, and guess what happened? She died. I would venture to say that most of those kinds of miracles that we pray for do not happen. I know that almost sounds like heresy, doesn't it? But I know I'm telling the truth. That does not happen. But it doesn't mean that we cannot find God in some of the strangest places and some of the smallest places. You know, I've learned to see God and some of the you know, when my little grandkids come up here and they kiss me on the stage because they haven't seen me but this first time, that's a miracle. To me, that's a miracle. I enjoy that. Baby, I just have to tell it. Do you know that my wife gets excited about picking lemons off of a lemon tree in our backyard? I'm serious. You can find miracles in what we consider some of the smallest. Have you ever looked in the face of your child and seen a miracle? You looked in the face of your spouse and seen a miracle. I've learned to just not put all my trust in these wheelchair type things. I'm going for the small ones. I'm going for looking at a rose and looking at a tree and seeing a miracle there. But you know what I've discovered as I could have continued this on, this series, but we have to move on. But let me tell you what I've found out. Learning to look for God, we find him in pain, we find him in difficulty, and we even find miracles in some of the strangest places and events and things. But you know what is a miracle? That I talked about learning to look for God, because we have to learn that, because we don't do very well in looking for God. And in fact, one of the first places you read in the scripture, we find God looking for us. Genesis 3 and verse 9, where are you? I want you to think about this. God is looking for us. What a God. What a loving and gracious and a good God he is. And some of us have gone all week long and have not looked or seen God at all. In fact, we were waiting till we got to church to see God. Lord, help us. And so God has been all week looking for you. What a God we serve. What a loving God. I have to stop before I shout and scare some of y'all. I got to stop. What a God. Look for God this week, and you'll find him, because he's been looking for you. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we can only praise your holy name. What a great God you are. Lord, these are tough times, yes, and the nation is looking for a miracle, when many times a miracle is right in front of us. And it's not more money in our 401s. It's not even about that. Sometimes, Lord, it's about people and relationships. And we see miracles of lives changed. We can't thank you enough, Lord, that the greatest miracle is when you touched our hearts and changed our lives. We can only praise you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'd like to conclude our service by singing one stanza, In a Little While, We're Going Home. Would you stand and sing with me one stanza, 626, In a Little While, We're Going Home. Just one stanza, In a Little While, We're Going Home. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going.